Today we're beginning a new series entitled With Christ in the School of Prayer. It's a short series in which we'll be learning from the Psalms, and although it's only a short series, it's one that I hope we will come back to from time to time in the coming years as we add more sessions, as it were, with Christ in the School of Prayer. Most of you will remember that earlier this year in the summer, I shared the burden of my heart that there are some areas in which, as a church, we need to grow spiritually. And you will recall that these were the depth of our praying, the proportion of our giving, and the enterprise of our serving. This series is clearly an attempt to address the first of these, the depth of our praying. Now, one of the things that was very encouraging to me during this short trip back to Scotland was that a large number of churches there are engaged in a campaign these days that is called Try Praying. Try Praying. You see these banners up on churches. There was a huge one just opposite where I was speaking for these 4 days in the north of Scotland. And this enigmatic Try Praying, it drives people to a website. And the basic idea is that even among folks who would never darken the door of a church, at some time, most people at some time in their lives feel that they would want to pray or feel a need to pray. It may be in a crisis in the family, it may be a hospital operation or whatever it is, but most people feel at some point in their life a need or a desire to pray. And so the churches in Scotland have come up with this campaign. There are signs on the buses, again, driving people to this Try Praying website. If you're interested, you can check it out, just see some good things that are happening in another country. It's simply called trypraying.org. And the challenge to people, they can download a free booklet, and the challenge is try praying for 1 week and see what difference it makes to your life. Very, very clearly within the materials that are presented, they're saying, and the whole point of this is to come to know God in a living way through Jesus Christ. Try praying. I like it. Here is something that the church has to offer. Christian people have something that at some point in their lives, everyone in this community, or at least the vast majority of this people in this community, the vast majority of people in this country, at some point will want to pray. And Christians know how to pray, or at least we should. And most of us feel we need to know a little bit more about this, and that with this precious gift that we have been given, that others at some point will desire, that we would want to grow in the depth of our praying. Now, that's the point of this whole series. Praying is a holy art. It is better caught than taught. That's why being part of occasions like our Pray First on the first Wednesday here of each month is a marvelous thing to build into the pattern of your life. It's caught rather than taught. But there are some things that can be learned. And I've been greatly helped here by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who wrote a tiny little book, very, very short, simply called Psalms, the Prayer Book of the Bible. Psalms, the Prayer Book of the Bible. And Bonhoeffer says at the beginning of that book that it is dangerous, a dangerous and, he says, surely a very widespread error among Christians to think that the heart can pray by itself. This is a big mistake. It's a dangerous error simply to think that the heart can pray by itself. And he goes on to explain that prayer does not mean simply pouring out one's heart. It means rather to find the way to God and to speak with Him, whether the heart is full or empty. That's very perceptive, isn't it? If your only definition of prayer is the pouring out of your heart, what in the world are you going to do when your heart is empty? How are you going to pray then? And that is precisely the point at which you most need to pray. So how can you find the way to God to pray, whether the heart be full or empty? That's a very important question. Now, the tradition in which most of us have been brought up, or the tradition into which most of us have come, is one that emphasizes the wonderful truth that we can come to God freely in the name of Jesus Christ at any time. We do not need an appointment to come to God. We do not need a priest to pray on our behalf. We do not need some special gift of words in order to engage in prayer. No, through Christ, you can come to God and you can say to him whatever is on your heart. And this is a wonderful truth, especially when it comes to what I like to call arrow prayers. Arrow prayers, just these quick instant ones. So before I get up to speak, I always shoot off an arrow prayer. Lord, help me. I need it. I need your help. And you go into a difficult meeting or you find yourself in a situation you just don't know what to do, you shoot off a little arrow prayer. It's like texting to the Lord, you know, instant, absolutely instant, and usually very, very short. And what a wonderful gift that is. But just as texting is not the only form of communication, so arrow prayers are not the only form of praying. There is more to prayer than off the top of the head requests to God. And so for all the value of spontaneity, it's worth thinking about this, that while spontaneity is a marvelous gift, when we come to things that really matter in life, we rarely trust spontaneity. Some of you are in sales. So your work is to meet with clients and to understand their needs and to commend a product that is going to be helpful to them. When you meet with a client, you want to go in prepared. What that means is you research their website, you learn about their business, you prepare a presentation. You may have offered a similar presentation many other times before, but this presentation is particularly adapted to that particular client with whom you are meeting. You put in all this preparation just to make a sale, just for one client. Why would you not put some preparation into prayer? Others of you are in the world of negotiating contracts. Some of you have been involved in fundraising. And your work revolves around key meetings. And when these come, you prepare for them really well. You have a presentation. And the presentation lays out the problem. And then it lays out the inadequacy of other solutions. And then it lays out what you are proposing, and then it comes to an ask that you have as part of the negotiation or whatever it is. You put in all this preparation to make the case. Why would you not think in the same way when it comes to entering the courts of Almighty God? In my own world, week by week, I have the privilege of speaking to you from the Bible. It's a great privilege. So what I say is never spontaneous. It comes out of 15 to 20 hours poring over the Bible, trying to grasp what its verses are saying, and then crafting to the best of my ability, asking the help of God sentence by sentence how this can best be conveyed. If such thinking goes into speaking to you, why would I not be thinking very, very carefully about what I am going to say to God? Now think about this, really. Suppose you had a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for a direct audience with Almighty God. Suppose you, once in a lifetime, could come directly to God. You could ask him anything you wanted. You could tell him everything that matters to you. Suppose you had that opportunity this Thursday, this week. Well, now you would prepare, wouldn't you? You would say to yourself, I am going to speak to Almighty God on Thursday. And this is obviously not only the most important event of the week, but it is going to be the most important event of my life, this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And suppose that your appointment with Almighty God were to last for 15 minutes. Well, now you would say to yourself, I have 15 minutes with Almighty God. What am I going to say? What am I going to ask? And you would begin to think, now, I want to ask something for myself. What would you ask of God? Remember, Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you? What is the thing that really is important in terms of you being more fully conformed to the image of Jesus Christ right now?" And then you would have some things, if you're married, you would want to ask for your spouse or your children. We'd have things that we want to ask on behalf of our friends. And standing in the presence of God, we would not want in our 15 minutes to say, "Lord, be with them." As you think about this appointment, it might occur to you that spending the entire 15 minutes asking for things would not be a very good idea. There is no other relationship in which any of us would be so self-absorbed. Imagine turning up for breakfast with a friend, and you sit down at breakfast and you say, "Hi, Joe, now I've got 7 things to ask you and then I'm out of here." I mean, you know, it's just, you're not going to do that, are you? And so as you think about these moments that you're going to have with God, you will begin to think, "Now, I do want to thank him. What will I want to thank him for?" And you will want to confess to him, and you'll think, "Now, what do I need to confess to him?" And you'll want to deepen and strengthen your own relationship with him. You will not want to wing it on these things. And so you will prepare. And what I'm saying to you, as I'm just encouraging us to think about what it actually means to pray, is that you have a direct audience with Almighty God every time you come to pray. And we will pray much better if we think about what it is that we are doing, and if in our minds and in our hearts we do not simply wing it, but seek to be more intentional about this immense privilege of speaking directly with Almighty God. Now, how then do we prepare to pray? How can we learn this holy art of prayer? How can we pray better than we have been praying in the past? Well, the answer surely is that God has given to us in the Bible an entire book of prayers called the Psalms. There are 150 of them, and the reason that this book is in the Bible is that God has given us prayers to help us with our praying. Think of it this way, that the Psalms are a training manual for prayer. The Psalms give us model prayers for every circumstance of life. And they are all prayers, because they are scripture, they are all prayers that have been breathed out by the Holy Spirit. So they show us how to pray in a way that is pleasing to God. And they are given to us for our use and for our instruction. And so when I invite you to enroll with me in the School of Prayer, I'm inviting us to immerse ourselves over time in the Psalms in order to improve the depth of our praying. And you will find in the book of Psalms model prayers, Holy Spirit-inspired prayers that are particularly adapted to every imaginable circumstance of life. And so, for example, as we move through this series, we're going to find from Psalm 10, how do you pray when the wicked seem to be winning? Which is something we're talking about all the time these days. Well, darkness seems to be on the advance. How do you pray then? That's what Psalm 10's all about. And Psalm 11, how do you pray when you feel like giving up? There'll be a point in your life, and some of us may be close to that point, experiencing the difficulties, just the sheer fatigue and the pressure. Now, I feel so exhausted, I feel like giving up. Psalm 11 speaks to that. Psalm 12, how do you pray when you're afraid for your children? How do you pray when you fear for your grandchildren? Oh, this world is going the wrong way. Psalm 12 is precisely adapted to that question. Praying for the young in an ungodly world. And Psalm 13 speaks directly to how you can pray when you're in an agony of soul, when you can hardly feel the presence of God at all. It's all there, and that's just 4 Psalms. So we're going to take a little course in the School of Prayer, and then in future years, God willing, we'll come back and we'll take some more and just keep adding to what we are learning from this marvelous, marvelous gift that God has given to us, the training manual for prayer the book of Psalms. Bonhoeffer says, if we are to pray aright, he says, perhaps it is quite necessary that we pray contrary to our own heart. In other words, if all you're thinking about prayer is just you pray what's in your heart, there will be times when you need to pray contrary to your own heart, and that's why you need the Bible. And he says, it is not what we want to pray that is important. What matters is what God wants us to pray. And then he has this wonderful comment, it is the richness of God's word that should determine our prayers, not the poverty of our own heart. Isn't that helpful? I don't want my praying to be defined by the poverty of my own heart. I'm so aware of the poverty of my own heart, the often emptiness of my own heart. That's the limitation. If I only think that it's the pouring out of my heart, the heart's often empty. I want my prayer to be defined not by the poverty of my own heart, but by the richness, says Bonhoeffer, of God's word. Andrew Bonar, Scottish pastor who I've quoted on a number of occasions, one of the most godly men of prayer, and yet his own critique of his prayer life is quite extraordinary. He writes in his diary of his prayer, I am too short, I ask too little, with too much want of forethought and too little meditation on the Scriptures. It was John Calvin who, in a very famous phrase, in a very wonderful phrase, described the book of Psalms as an anatomy of all the parts of the soul. Isn't that beautiful? Everything that can ever go on in a human soul, you'll find somewhere in the book of Psalms. It is an anatomy of all parts of the soul. And he says this, there is not an emotion of which anyone can be conscious that is not represented here as in a mirror. The Holy Spirit has here drawn together all the griefs, the sorrows, the fears, the doubts, the hopes, the cares, the perplexities, in short, all the distracting emotions that the minds of men and of women are wont to be agitated. Everything you experience, you'll find a way of praying through it somewhere in the book of Psalms. And so to immerse yourself in this book is going to be the number one way of developing the depth of your own praying. So with great gladness, I'm inviting you, as it were, to enroll in the School of Prayer as we immerse ourselves in the Psalms so that we may grow in the depth of our praying. And there's one other thing in the title, and it's this. The series is called, not simply, The School of Prayer, which would be a good title for the Psalms. It's called, With Christ in the School of Prayer. With Christ in the School of Prayer. Think about this. The Lord Jesus Christ himself, in his growing up years, would have saturated his own mind in the Psalms. He would have known so much of that book ingested into his own memory, how much his own prayer life shaped by the prayers of the Psalms. So much so that in the moments of his extremity on the cross, in the last four words that were cried out from the cross, they all either directly quote or allude to the Psalms. The mind of Jesus saturated in the Psalms. And all Christian praying of the Psalms, is through Jesus Christ and with Jesus Christ. And I just want to conclude this morning with some simple observations that remind us that when we're in the School of Prayer, we are with Christ. And let me give you these encouragements from the ministry of Christ with regards to prayer. Here's the first. Pray because Jesus is our great high priest. That's the argument of the Scriptures. We have a great high priest, Hebrews 4:14, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Therefore, verse 16, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. I don't know about you, but if I have to engage in a strategic conversation, I'm often, if it's appropriate, grateful to have someone with me who knows more about the subject or the environment or whatever it was. Remember when Moses had to go and speak with Pharaoh, and he says, "Who will go with me?" And the Lord gives Aaron to go with him. And what was the role of Aaron in the Old Testament? The high priest. I'm going to give you a high priest who will help you, who will go with you. And now taking up that story, here is the writer to the Hebrews saying, we have a great high priest, a far greater high priest than Aaron, but we have someone with us when we are speaking, not to Pharaoh, but to Almighty God. When you pray, by faith you ascend into heavenly places where Christ is. Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, and when you by faith pray, ascending by faith into the heavenly places, you are right next to Jesus Christ, and He is right next to you, and He is praying with you, the intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? He's endorsing what you're saying. He's placing His name under what you are asking. Like someone else alongside you making the case in an important meeting. A Christian never prays alone. You pray to the Father. You pray with the Son. You pray in the Holy Spirit. Again, Bonhoeffer is helpful here. Jesus Christ wants to pray with us. And He wants us to pray with Him. So you can come to the Father. Here's a great encouragement to prayer. You can come to the Father with Jesus beside you, and He's there to support you in your prayer. He's there to back you up in what you are saying, to agree with your prayer, because He is making it His own. Pray because Jesus is your great high priest. Pray because Jesus knows what it's like. There's nothing you can ever bring to God in prayer that the Lord Jesus Christ does not already know absolutely and completely. We do not have, verse 15, a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are. The one who's praying alongside you, the Son of God, the intercessor who prays with you and you pray with Him, He's been in a carpenter's shop. He's been by a gravesite. He's seen evil and violence unleashed like no other. There's nothing that comes into experience in your life that He cannot relate to, because He knows what life is. And this is our high priest. So pray because He's there at the right hand of the Father. What greater encouragement could there be? Pray because He absolutely knows and understands everything you're going through. He's been betrayed. He's known what it is to see someone He loved deeply go off. He's been through it all. There's nothing that you can bring that He's not going to relate to entirely, fully, and completely. And pray because God invites you to the throne of grace. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace, the writer to the Hebrews says. The throne of grace. John Bunyan has a wonderful phrase. He says, God has more than one throne. Beautiful. God has more thrones than one. Because you know what he's thinking of? He's thinking of the throne of judgment. How often would you want to pray if when you pray, God was seated on the throne of judgment? I don't want to come near there. I don't want to be judged every time I come praying. But in hearing prayer, God is seated on the throne of grace. God has more thrones than one, says Bunyan. And this is the great incentive that we have, that the Lord Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, and that the Father Himself next to the Son is by definition on the throne of grace, because those who come through the Son experience grace, stand in grace, are received with grace. Wonderful. Why would you not come and pray with such an invitation? It's wonderful. Number four, pray Because in this way, you will receive help from God. You come here, you're struggling in life, you say, I need help from God, I've come to church. Well, you come to church, the Bible is opened, and what are we being told? To receive help from God, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, what are you going to do? You come to the throne of grace. That is how you receive help in time of need. And sometimes folks who will say, no, I'm a Christian, but God's not helping me. My first question is always, do you pray? Are you praying? Because this is how help is received. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. This is how help comes. This is the offer that Jesus Christ is holding before us, the invitation that is given to us today. Number five, pray because this was the practice of Jesus. You read it all through the Gospels. He goes away to a lonely place to pray. He's the Son of God and he prays. If he does this, how much more do I need to do this? When he comes to the moments of extremity in his life, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prays the same thing three times, we're told. So there is a working through of this agony in the soul of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just, I've said the prayer, but he comes back and he comes back. And if the Son of God should have done that, why should I not do that also in the things that burden me most and lift them before God? As often as they weigh heavy upon my soul. Number six, pray because in this way you will guard against temptation. Very clear, the teaching of Jesus. Watch and pray so that you will not enter into temptation. And it's very easy, isn't it, to slip into a lazy kind of Christianity in which one falls back into what we call, you know, a habitual sin. And we say, well, you know, there we are, gone and done it again, and well, thank God for grace, and therefore never really grow, never really change. You keep falling back into the same sin. Do you pray? When you fell back into that sin, was that a time when you could honestly say that you were praying, that you were watching? Let's be honest about this. There is sufficient grace for you to prevail in the hardest battles of your spiritual life, and they are to be found through Christ in watching and in praying. In these ways, you will be guarded against temptation. You will not fall into temptation. You will not be overcome. You will experience temptation. You will not be overcome by its power if you watch and pray, says Jesus. But without these two, of course, you're going to just keep falling back into the same old patterns. This is huge. And this is the invitation of God. There's grace. You can be different. But you need to learn to pray. And number seven, pray because when you seek Christ, you will find him. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened. It will be opened. And here's the great promise that encourages us to persevere. It's in the present continuous. Ask and go on asking. Seek, go on seeking. Knock, go on knocking. And you will find. You will receive. I end with this. In my reading this week, came across a wonderful piece, really, by a pastor by the name of Andrew Gray. Again, from centuries ago. And as he was encouraging his congregation to prayer, he just lifted his mind up to heaven and he asked the question, thinking about all that's up there in heaven, if heaven could be our counselor, if we could get all the wisdom from heaven, what would that wisdom be for living the Christian life here? And I'm just going to read this, and you'll help me with it because it has a rhythm and a repetition to it. Gray said this. Now, I think if Adam were going to give you counsel, it would be this: be much in prayer. If Moses and Aaron were going to give you counsel, it would be this. Join with me. Be much in prayer. If David were going to give you counsel, think about the lives of these people, you see. If David were going to give you counsel, it would be this, be much in prayer. Then he thinks about the whole scene in heaven. If the four beasts around the throne of God, they've seen all human history. If the four beasts around the throne of God were going to give you counsel, it would be this, be much in prayer. If the 24 elders around the throne of God were to give you counsel, it would be this, be much in prayer. If the angels that are standing on the sea of glass were going to give you counsel, it would be this, be much in prayer. Last one. And if all the spirits of just men and women made perfect, all who are home in glory, could give you advice with regards to living the Christian life, it would surely be this. Say it with me. Be much in prayer. Father, please, as we enroll in the school of prayer with Christ, grant that we may learn more of what it is to walk with you and to speak with you and to commune with you and to intercede before you. And grant, we pray, that this may be a great distinctive not only of us as individuals, but of us as a congregation, that we are increasingly a praying people for the sake of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.